morning?
How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Are you ready to go?
I'm all ready to go.
Good morning, everyone. We're on the record. I'm Melanie Brive, and this is the hearing for docket 14-042-01, entitled In the Matter of Emory Telephone's Application for Utah Universal Service Fund Support. Let's start by taking appearances, please.
Good morning, my name is Kiris Lawson. I'm from Blackburn and Stahl. I represent the applicant, Emory Telephone. To my right is Brock Johansson, the CEO of Emory Telephone, and to his right is Brendan Stewart, who is an intern in our office at Blackburn and Stahl.
And I'm Justin Jetter, representing the Utah Division of Public Utilities, and with me at council table is Bill Duncan with the division.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I do see that the office is in the audience. Do you wish to participate in the hearing? You're welcome to take a position at the table.
No, Your Honor, we'll be available. We'll also be available for comments should you require any.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Lawson, I'll let you go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. I've got Mr. Johansson to offer testimony in support of the settlement stipulation that was filed.
Good morning, Mr. Johansson.
Good morning.
Would you please raise your right hand? And do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Before you give your testimony, I just wanted to ask you, are you going to be reading from what you have in front of you on the screen, or?
Yes.
Okay.
If you prefer, I have a piece of paper. Would you?
No. I just wanted to better understand what.
What I'm doing?
No, what
I'm surfing the net.
Remember, you are under oath.
And on the record.
Yes. So do you care to clarify that? Are you indeed surfing the net?
Are you surfing the net? No, right
now. Not at this perfect moment.
Okay, very good.
Mr. Johansson, can you state your name and position with Emory Telephone for the record?
My name is Brock Johansson. I'm the CEO of Emory Telephone. My business address is 445 East, Highway 29, Orangeville, Utah, 84537.
And what is the purpose for your testimony here today?
I will offer support for the settlement stipulation in the petition for USF distribution filed by Emory Telephone in this matter and confirm the company's belief that the settlement stipulation and the USF distribution agreed to in the settlement are in the public interest.
Did you file testimony in this matter?
Yes, I filed testimony to address the current revenue requirements of Emory Telephone and to offer support for the information contained in the company's application for Utah Universal Service Fund distribution.
And did anybody else file testimony on behalf of Emory Telephone?
Yes. As indicated in detail in the testimony filed in this matter by the company, Emory is currently experiencing,
Was it Darren Woolsey that filed testimony?
Yes, Darren Woolsey, our CFO, filed testimony also.
And can you summarize Emory Telephone's application for universal service distribution in this matter?
Yes, as indicated in detail in the testimony filed in this matter by the company, Emory is currently experiencing revenue deficiency, which it seeks to recover from an annual disbursement from the Utah Universal Service Fund.
Can you provide the commission with a brief history in this application?
On September 29th, 2014, after informal discussions with the Division of Public
Informal discussions? Informal or formal?
Did I say informal?
I don't know. Did you say?
Mr.
Thank you.
Mr. Johansson, I think it would be helpful if you slow down a little bit.
Okay, I'll slow down.
And speak up. Thank you.
And speak up. Okay. And I'll move that forward. That's louder now, right?
A little bit.
On September 29th, 2014, after informal discussions with the Division of Public Utilities, Emory Telephone filed a petition for USF distribution and supporting testimony seeking approximately $623,706 in annual Utah USF support. After filing the application for USF, the Division of Public Utilities and the Office of Consumer Services issued several data requests and participated in an on-site audit of the books records, operations, and facilities of Emory Telephone. Subsequent to the on-site audit, the Office of Consumer Services, the Division of Public Utilities, and Emory Telephone engaged in settlement discussions.
And as a result of the settlement discussions, was a settlement reached?
Yes, Emory Telephone reached a settlement with the Division of Public Utilities, which resulted in the stipulation that was filed by the Division of Public Utilities and Emory Telephone on January 21st, 2015.
And are you familiar with the terms of the stipulation that was filed on January 21st, 2015?
Yes.
I'd like to just briefly go over the terms of that stipulation. In paragraph 4 of the stipulation, the parties agree for purposes of settlement that Emory's present tariff charges do not provide sufficient revenues to cover Emory's 2013 test year costs to provide basic telephone service to its customers, which resulted in a revenue shortfall. Is Emory experiencing a revenue shortfall?
Yes, Emory's costs to provide basic telephone service to its customers are in excess of its rates, resulting in a revenue shortfall. The parties have agreed that for the purposes of settlement, Emory is entitled to an annual USF distribution in the amount of $561,000 or $46,750 per month to permit Emory Telephone to continue to provide telecommunication services at just and reasonable rates and to recover its reasonable cost of service and a reasonable rate of return on the value of its property devoted to public use.
Mr. Johansson, one moment, please.
Yes,
ma'am. I realize you're reading, and the tendency is to just not pause, and the tendency is probably to be a little faster than your normal pace of speech. It would be very helpful for the court reporter and for all of us listening and absorbing what
just
you're saying.
Down.
If you would slow down,
okay,
take pauses between the phrases, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Parties also agreed that Emory would be entitled to a one-time lump sum disbursement from the Utah Universal Service Fund in the amount of $30,959.90 to cover the reasonable costs associated with Emory's application. We believe the annual Utah Universal Service Fund distribution and the one-time lump sum from the Universal Utah Service Fund for costs associated with the application are supported by the books and records.
And I believe that you had indicated that it was that the one-time distribution for the costs associated with the USF application were $30,959.90. In fact, I believe the costs, were they not $30,959.80?
Yes, that is correct.
Does the stipulation that was entered into by the Division of Public Utilities and Emory Telephone contemplate when the Utah Universal Service payments would begin?
Yes, the parties have agreed that it is just and reasonable that the monthly Utah Universal Service Fund payments begin as of January 1st, 2015. The January payment shall be made in a lump sum payment together with a one-time lump sum payment from the Universal Utah Service Fund for reasonable costs associated with the application within 7 days of the date of the release of the Commission's order approving the stipulation. Thereafter, monthly payments will be disbursed from the Utah Universal Service Fund under the usual and customary procedures of the Commission on or around the first day of each month.
Is Emory Telephone charging the base affordable rate as set by the Commission?
No. Emory Telephone is a cooperative telephone company. Currently, its rates are $15 for residential service and $24.50 for business service.
And in connection with this application, is Emory Telephone seeking to raise its rates?
No, we believe that the economic realities in Emory County will not support a rate increase, so we are not seeking a rate increase at this time. Our application imputed the revenue we would have received from a rate increase to the affordable base rate, and the stipulated settlement is based on the imputation of income that would have been received from an increase in the rates to the base affordable rate. Therefore, the Utah Universal Service Fund is not being used to subsidize our cooperative decision not to raise rates at this time.
And do you believe an annual Utah Universal Service distribution in the amount of $561,000 is just and reasonable and in the public interest?
Yes.
To your understanding, is the Office of Consumer Services a party to this settlement stipulation?
It's my understanding that the office is not a party to the stipulation, but they do not oppose the settlement or the stipulation.
Thank you. I have no other questions. Mr. Johansson will be available for cross-examination.
Thank you, Ms. Lawson. Mr. Jeter?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Johansson, I have a few questions for you, please.
Okay.
Regarding the revenue shortfall that you referred to in your testimony, do you have a sense as to when Emory intends to bring a rate case before the commission?
You mean a future rate case?
Yes, sir.
I do not have a sense. We always are looking at those numbers, and we are closing the books for 2014 to determine if there is a further shortfall or if there isn't. And so I do not know. I do not have any idea on that right now.
And given your testimony that you are experiencing a shortfall, could you help me understand why you're not seeking a rate increase?
As explained in my testimony, the economics of the area, if you look at what's happening in our area, we've had a lot of the mine closures. We've had the power plant that's closing in Castlegate, a bunch of other economic realities, just like a lot of the state we're experiencing. A lot of our customers are really economically having a hard time right now, and we don't feel that it would be a good idea right now to raise rates because of those realities. As a co-op, we have the right to set those rates, and as stated in my testimony, that amount was imputed against the amount of draw against the Universal Service Fund, so it's not being made up out of that fund. We're just choosing not to charge it at this point.
You're referring to the affordable base rate?
Increase in affordable base rate, right.
Okay.
Sorry, can I just ask for there was a bit of overlap there. You're referring to the affordable
base rate. The question was, why are we not charging the affordable base rate? We don't believe that the economies of the area would justify or would be allow us to charge that increase in fees to our subscribers.
Thank you, Mr. Johansson. Is it correct that this is Emory's first application for USF?
No.
You are currently receiving USF?
We're not currently receiving it, but it's not our first application. We were receiving it, I think we, and I'm not positive, but I think the last time we received state USF was in 2006.
Okay.
And so we have received it in the past, but we haven't been receiving it in the past, or for the past, since 2006.
What were the circumstances that arose that you no longer continued to receive USF?
I'm going to give a vague answer. I came on as the CEO 2 months before us failing to receive USF. So I came on in December of 2005 as the CEO. So when they originally applied for USF, I wasn't employed by the company. So I don't have a lot of knowledge on that. But I think it was a decrease in rate base. The company went through this through a time when they weren't upgrading the plant, and for other reasons, but the rate base had fallen, making them ineligible for state USF. And when we came back on, when I came on in 06, we started upgrading the plant to an IP-capable plant, and as we did that, the rate base came back up, making us eligible for state USF again.
Ms. Lawson, did you want to supplement that? I realize you're not providing testimony, just for clarification.
Sure, I just had a question. Was there a formal proceeding when the company lost its USF?
No. So when the USF was removed or no longer given to the company in 2006, it was a decision. We just received a letter from the division saying we are no longer eligible. It wasn't part of the application or a rate case.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Mr. Johansson, could you help me understand a little bit more? You testified that the USF, in your opinion, based on your testimony, does not amount to a subsidy. What do you mean by that?
I find the statement that I made.
I think you said subsidize.
I think that was in relation to the base affordable rate. Okay. And so I was saying the USF was not going to subsidize the fact that we were not charging the base affordable rate. That amount was imputed against us. The fact that we were not charging the base affordable rate, that revenue difference was imputed against the amount that we were getting out of the Utah Universal Service Fund. So it's not subsidizing the fact that we are not charging that base affordable rate. That's what I meant by that statement. It was in that question on the difference between what we're charging right now and the base affordable rate. This USF application does not subsidize the fact that we're not charging the base affordable rate.
Okay. Thank you very much for that clarification.
Am I answering those too quickly? Are you okay?
I'll tell you if I have a problem.
Sorry.
Mr. Johansson, have you received any comments or concerns from ratepayers concerning this application that you've made to the Commission for the USF?
No.
Okay. And regarding your statement about the office's participation, I realize that the office is here and can make a statement if they choose to do so, but just to clarify, your understanding is that the office does not object to the stipulation as it's presented to the Commission, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much, sir, for your testimony today. Mr. Jenner.
Thank you. The division would like to call and have sworn in Mr. Bill Duncan.
Good morning, Mr. Duncan.
Good morning.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Duncan, would you please state your name and occupation for the record?
My name is Bill Duncan. I'm manager of the telecommunications section at the Utah Division of Public Utilities.
Thank you. And have you prepared a brief statement today?
Yes, I have.
Please go ahead.
The Utah Division of Public Utilities supports the settlement stipulation filed with the Public Service Commission on January 21st, 2015, and requests that the Commission approve the stipulation as filed. Settlement stipulation resolves all issues associated with this docket. The division believes that this settlement is just and reasonable and in the public interest. And I'll go through some of the history of our participation in this docket. On September 29, 2014, Emory Telephone filed its application for USF support with the Public Service Commission. During the ensuing months, the division conducted a thorough review and audit of the books and records of Emory Telephone. Throughout that time, the division issued 4 data requests seeking more information. These data requests were promptly answered. The division also worked informally and in a collaborative manner with Emory when clarifications or explanations were needed. On December 2nd through the 4th of 2014, 3 members of the division staff traveled to Emory County and met with Emory Telephone personnel in their offices in Orangeville, Utah, and further reviewed and audited the books and records of Emory Telephone. As a result of this investigation, the division proposed a few adjustments to Emory's request. On January 7th, 2015, the Division, the Office of Consumer Services, and Emory met in settlement discussions. As a result of these discussions, the Division and Emory were able to resolve the issues and come to a mutually agreeable solution. The result of that agreement is presented in the settlement stipulation. The Division has reviewed this case using the same standards that have been applied in other USF requests and believes that the amount presented in the settlement stipulation of $561,000 per year will allow Emory to recover its operating costs and earn a fair return on its investment. The Division has also reviewed the invoices submitted for rate case expenses and believes that the amount of $30,959.80 accurately represents the costs incurred by Emory in this docket. For these reasons, the Division believes the settlement stipulation as presented is just, fair, and reasonable in result and is in the public interest and requests the Commission approve the stipulation. Thank you.
I have just one further question for you. Are you aware or have you been contacted by any customers or are you aware of any outside parties that are not present today that would object to this stipulation?
No, I'm not.
Thank you. I have no further questions and Mr. Duncan is available for cross-examination.
Ms. Lawson?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Duncan, do have a question or two for you, please.
Okay.
Concerning, did you hear Mr. Johansson's testimony earlier regarding the office's participation in this matter?
Yes.
In particular, that the office does not object to the stipulation?
That is my understanding.
Okay. And is it your understanding that the office, just to clarify, is it your understanding that the office does not object?
Yes, that is my understanding as well.
Regarding the effective date, does that pose any problem for the division as far as we've already gone beyond the January 2015 date? Does that create any problem for assuming that the stipulation is approved as drafted? Does that create any problem for you meeting that request, the January 2015 date?
No, it does not.
Okay. And regarding the testimony about whether a rate case will be filed or when it might be filed in the future, have there been any discussions between the division and Emory about that issue?
I'd just like to step in just real quickly. There may have been discussions, but we had confidential settlement discussions that I think might be inappropriate to discuss before the commission at this time.
Okay.
I don't know if that's an objection to the question or what we would call that. But.
I think what you're telling me is that you don't want to answer the question because it goes to the issue of settlement discussions.
Yes.
So I can appreciate that. Okay. Thank you for that. And okay, very good. Mr. Duncan, I think you already answered this question, but just to be clear, have you received any concerns from on behalf of any of the ratepayers for Emory regarding this matter?
No, we have not.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you. You're
very much. Ms. Lawson, typically we would take notice of the filings, so I'll leave it to you as to what you choose to request to have admitted into the record.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, we would move to have the application be and the testimony of Darren Woolsey and Rob Johansson admitted into the record.
Okay. And I assume you'd also like this settlement stipulation?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Very good. Is there any objection to that?
No objection.
Okay. Again, I'd like to give the opportunity if the office wishes to make any statement whatsoever. I believe it's not your intention to make a statement. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anything further to come before the commission regarding this matter?
Not from the applicant, thank you.
No, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. This matter will be adjourned. We'll take the matter under advisement and see you again here at 12 o'clock for the public witness hearing portion. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.